Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another Art House Rewind. My name is Matt. I'm the executive director of Art House Cinema and the Babcock Theater. And today, I'm not only joined by one of our staff members, Brian Oestreich. He's our creative director. But we have a very, very special guest with us today. Jim Rote is joining us, and he's one of the partners at Steep World, one of the great local businesses doing some great things. And you're going to find out why he's a part of this in just a minute. But first and foremost, Jim, thanks for being a part of this. We're excited to have you in the conversation.
Oh, we're stoked that you gave us the opportunity, Brian and Matt. We love the fact that you guys are doing what you do, and just serving our community is our heart and our passion. So this is a cool
club. Love it. Thanks, man. Hey, so before we jump into our film discussion tonight, because boy, do we have a discussion, we want to quickly give a shout out to one of our Art House sponsors. As you probably know, Art House, as a nonprofit cinema, continues to be supported by so many great local sponsors, businesses, organizations, and individuals that are giving financially to help us continue to survive and bring the things that we're doing here in Billings. And tonight we just want to shout out one of those, and that is YPR, or Yellowstone Public Radio. They've been one of our longtime sponsors. Great relationship with those guys. We're so grateful for your continual work in our community, what you're doing, but then also your support of us as Art House. So thank you, YPR. Keep up the good work. Also, because he's put so much effort into it, Brian, we need to know what you're drinking tonight because it connects very, very well.
Okay, so as you all know, I usually have a beer sponsor. I went back to Mountains Walking again this week because what goes closer to free soloing than mountains walking. And it is also their Junegrass IPA, which for those of you that have seen the film or at least know a little about Alex Hinald, know that he climbed the face of El Capitan in June 2017. So ties in very well.
That's digging deep for a tie-in, but I love it. Jim, you got a beverage of choice as well. Go ahead and give that shout out if you don't mind. We love shouting out local businesses.
My next door neighbor, Canyon Creek Brewing, they brew some great black malt liquor, and they're good friends of ours, doing a good service for the community, back open finally. So yeah, those guys are great, and we love having them as a neighbor.
And you got it in a custom mug, it looks like. Yeah, this is just a traditional beer mug.
Just another trade show thing.
I love it. Hey, so tonight, if you haven't picked up by Brian's very intricate beer description, we are talking about the film Free Solo, which now I hope it all makes sense if it didn't yet before. This is why Jim is joining us with the conversation, because, you know, if we're going to talk about climbing and this incredible film Free Solo, Brian and I don't know if you can't tell by our body type, but we're not the biggest, greatest climbers in the world. It's an incredible film, but we thought, let's bring an expert into the conversation to help us understand some things. Maybe we have some questions, or you might have some questions or comments that Jim would be able to jump in on. So feel free to leave a comment in that Facebook section if you're watching live tonight. But to jump things off, Brian, tell us what we need to know about this film, Free Solo.
All right, so this was a 2018 film. It was part of National Geographic's films that they put together. It was directed by Jimmy Chin and Elizabeth Chai. Vassaril. I'm just gonna leave it at that. And they also had teamed together before on Meru in 2015, a couple years back. Another sort of climbing film that, you know, also was very well received, and we showed at Art House as well back then. It really follows Alex Hinald on his quest to triumph over climbing El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. So it really follows him, but beyond that, it also follows sort of his life and his relationship and a bit of a slight history of free soloing as well for people that are not climbers and don't know what that is, including this guy right here who had no idea before seeing this what they were talking about. So
you thought Free Solo was Han Solo was captured at a jail somewhere and someone was going to get him out.
Gonna free him. Free Tibet, Free Solo.
No, so this film,
they postponed the release of the movie because of the Solo film coming out.
Oh, really?
Really?
Actually postponed the release because the Han Solo movie was coming out. So they pushed it.
That,
yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. This film, so when this film came, this was one that I remember seeing the trailer for. We were excited about it to bring it to Art House. And then two things happened. One, I watched the film the day, you know, that we were able to preview the film and was just blown away by it. I was already excited about it because of the trailer and because of the Jimmy Chin Mei Ru connection, because I loved that film and that film in place so well. But then, like, this crazy thing happened on that Friday when we opened it. Like, everybody that's ever climbed anything in Billings, Montana, it seemed like, they all came to the movie on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the next week, the week after. I think we kept this one for 3 weeks, just continuing to see, you know, that the house is full because people were just so excited about this film. And then it started to leak out to non-climbers, people that were just excited about it because they had talked to a buddy of theirs that had seen it. And man, you got to check out this film. And so overall, Art House has been open for 5 years. This film sits at number 12 for our all-time best played list, which is pretty good when you consider that some of the films that have, you know, beat it out, we've brought back twice some of those films. This film played once, and it played that great to be in number 12. And so it's just, I love this film, but I also loved seeing so many people. Like, it was just crazy to me, all these people that showed up. We sold out, you know, screenings and had to turn people away because of this climbing community in our city that were so excited about this film, and rightly so. So talking a little bit about the production of this film and how it was made, I think, you know, Jimmy Chin, he made Mei Ru, and it was this really interesting thing for me to see this guy continue to do what I think he does so well. And that is, and I know, Jim, you can speak to this, but he not only tells the story, you know, the technical side of what's happening climbing wise, but he's able to tell the story of the climber themselves. And then specifically with this film, Free Solo, what I loved about it is they tell almost the story of how the film was shot and the crew behind the film and what went in for them emotionally and, you know, technologically to kind of get some of this film shot the way that they did, just the way they went about it. You can tell that Jimmy's been up to this for a few years. He kind of knows what he's doing. And he's really, for me, it felt like this was a masterclass in some ways on how to shoot some of this stuff and go about it. It was just really, really well done on every level.
Yeah, gosh, Jimmy Chin in his own right he's unbelievable. And I was following Jimmy Chin when I was a young climber as kind of one of my idols, just because of what he did all around the world as far as climbs, just the globe around. And I just read, I think he was one of the first people to ski off Mount Everest. And so he just did some crazy stuff, and he was able to take his cameras and tell that story really well. Early on, you know, he did still photography and climbing magazine. Most anybody that's been climbing for 20 years or so knows about Jimmy Chin mostly from his accomplishments in the climbing world, and nothing to do with camera or anything, telling a story via video. He's just done such a great job as an adventure guy himself. Mm.
That's really cool. So he kind of, he's transitioned, because obviously he's a climber. You can tell that this is a passion for him. He's not just a Hollywood hire that they brought in. But this has been a building narrative for him, that he started out as a climber, then transitioned into photography, and now into filmmaking, is kind of what you're saying. So it's been this slow progress and evolution.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I got into climbing, I was going to school for film and TV back in Bozeman, and Galen Rowell was one of my heroes. And he was a guy that was an incredible photographer, but he was a mountaineer and alpinist and a climber first. And I was, you know, in high regards to me, because he carried all his climbing equipment, all his camping equipment, all his food. And then he had all this film camera equipment, you know, in these cold environments, carrying this stuff up. So it was pretty amazing, the fact that he could master this skill of climbing and mountaineering, but then he also had a backpack full of camera gear, and he could capture it and bring it back to the rest of the world. And I know that Jimmy was probably, in regard of, if you talk to him, I'm sure he would probably say that Galen Rowell was one of his heroes back in the day. And because what he's done seems, at least in my mind and where I come from in my climbing pursuit, Jimmy's done a really good job in filling those footsteps in the new era of video, because back then it was mostly just still shots and stuff in the mountains.
That's really cool. And I think, you know, not to get too deep into what I loved about the film, but I think you kind of hinted at it. There was something about, you know, whether it's Mei Ru, but this one in particular, it struck me that everybody's always talking about who came before them, it seems like, in the climbing community. You just did it. Like, we can't talk about that guy without talking about this guy, which is really, really cool. And I think really, really beautiful that no man is an island in this community. Everybody, or no woman is an island. Everybody's connected in some level and pushing each other and encouraging each other and challenging each other. Like, that's what this film was about on so many levels. Alex obviously is trying to do this thing, but there's so many climbers around him, and he's always talking about those who have gone before him, and man, that guy was awesome, and that guy's incredible, and all of those kinds of things. It's a really beautiful picture. So I just love that you just naturally did something that I was going to talk about later on about what I loved about the film. So one of the production pieces for me that I loved is, I mean, this is kind of more where it landed, but this film ended up winning the Academy Award for Best Documentary, which was awesome. We watched the Oscars as, you know, an Art House membership and community at the time. And like, I went nuts when Free Solo won. And it felt like, I don't know if it was because of the Meru connection, and Meru was about Conrad Anker, who's from Bozeman. And so I felt like, I don't know the guy, but I feel like I know that guy. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy Chin's on the stage at the Oscars. And I felt like, we know that guy. I don't know that guy at all, but it just felt like such a beautiful thing that, to go to what you're saying, like, here's a guy that's been building something for years, and he got some real big credit and recognition for the work that he's done on this film. I loved it.
Yeah. Oftentimes in climbing literature, as you know, podcasts and video, YouTube and things like that have come out, people that have been in it for a while kind of refer to the climbing community as the tribe. And yeah, it does, it kind of harkens back into, I guess I look at kind of my past as a climber. I was an anarchist, you know, I wanted to get away and do something crazy that other people weren't doing. And now look at me, you know, I'm promoting them. I bring it into the mainstream. And I think that's just the natural way of things. Something that's cool brings people together. And I've often reflected that when you're a climber, all your angst and anxiety and frustration and negativity can be expressed at the wall and on the rock. And then you just get back down to earth and you realize, oh, hey, we're here on this level plane together. And it's like, well, my fight's up there. And you just communicate better. And so there seems to be a really good camaraderie amongst climbers. I don't know what it is other than the fact that you throw all your emotion at the wall and you just kind of get down to earth and communicate with people as people.
I love it.
Very cool.
So Brian, any production thoughts or things for you that jumped out?
You know, most things he, you know, as you said, they kind of walk you through it in the film itself. So it's not so much this behind the scenes look at things. It's a lot of, you know, the techniques that they talk about in the film itself. Or you can even just see the cameraman just hanging there beside him during his climbs as well. And, you know, just seeing how, you know, they're not spoken of as much as Alex, but you have to think that these guys shooting this are sort of unsung heroes that are not only filming this, but they are climbing right alongside him. They have ropes, of course, but they're still putting in a tremendous effort. And, you know, my main thing when I was thinking of watching this film was how so many people, you know, being able to climb El Capitan even with ropes is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And these guys did it next to him dozens of times in leading up to this, into this end of the film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think it's probably one of my favorite surprises about the film was how much behind the scenes it felt like you were experiencing what they were experiencing as mm-hmm. the crew. That's so rare in a documentary. And so for me to, you know, whether it's hearing how they're like the challenge of getting the shots and staying out of Alex's way that he mm-hmm. doesn't even know that he's being filmed in the moment. Like, that's crazy to figure out how to do that. Like the technique and thought that went into that, to like getting them, like filming them watching and filming him, like was such, it was all of a sudden they're nervous. Now I'm really nervous. You know, I'm already nervous on top, but when you have a professional that is nervous, I'm like, I'm really gripping the seat at that point. Yeah. And, you know, exhausted by the end of the film because mm-hmm. of it. So what did you think about that, Jim? Was that something you enjoyed about the film, scene kind of behind the scenes, or for you, are you watching it going, I already know all of this stuff. Quit showing me the ABCs of how to climb a mountain, you guys.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is most climbers that have been climbers for a while, they knew about this going in, because he in the film, it talked about how he was working towards it. And that goal was pretty well known throughout the climbing community. So lots and lots of people were following that, whether they followed him on social media or just, you know, otherwise, even magazines. Magazines were writing about a climbing magazine and Rock and Ice. So it was pretty well known what was going on there. And the time that he went up and he just kind of bailed, that was a whole, you know, big sigh with, from a lot of people. And I don't know if that sigh was out of disappointment or like, okay, good. He didn't go through with it. But, you know, the buildup was there. And the moment that he did it, I bet it reverberated throughout the climbing community really, really fast. But the production of that was unbelievable. I'm a pretty good logistician as far as like rigging ropes and stuff. But what those guys did was at a different level. I mean, and they did it over and over and over again. So they were able to, on a 3,000 foot piece of rock, they were able to hump up hundreds of pounds worth of climbing gear and camera gear and just string it down and get after it. And so they had their system dialed in pretty tight. And, you know, I love the Blue Planet, but I like how Blue Planet was made better than, so I always like the back end scenes of just about anything. Yeah. And this one was pretty impressive. How they weaved it right into the story was killer. I loved it.
Yeah. And I loved, I mean, just the way they did some of those shots. I mean, the way they show, obviously it's CGI and, you know, working with computers to show the routes and all those kinds of things. But particularly when he's climbing it towards the end of the film, no spoilers yet, don't worry. But when he's making his attempt at the end of the film, like the way it's zooming in, you know, from, you see the whole mountain and then it just zooms into right where he's at. Obviously, you know, they're using some technology and cutting some things together there, but it just, you always feel, you know, the epicness of what's taking place. You never get lost in just one guy climbing a mountain. You always continually are zooming out and experiencing like, this thing is crazy what he's doing. And I, you know, I just think they did such a phenomenal job.
Spoken of different sections of the climb previously. So when he gets to a section, you already know what he's going through at that point too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, which we'll talk about in a little bit, one of your scenes. So I love it. So, gentlemen, we're going to jump into what is known as the spoiler section. So at this point, you can spoil it if you haven't seen it. We would encourage you to maybe hit pause, go check it out. You can check it out on Hulu or on Disney Plus, and make sure to watch it there if you have subscriptions to those things, because this thing is awesome. But for those of you that have seen it or just loves things being spoiled for you, we're going to talk about all things about this film that we loved and things that we thought didn't work as well. So, gentlemen, let's start with our favorite scene or moment from the film. And Brian, we'll start with you. I know you got a clip to show of what that is, and then we will go from there.
Yeah, so probably, and I mean, this is what stuck with me from, you know, the very beginning, first time I saw this, and even going back to rewatch this, this was the section I remember the most, was when he spoke about what was the boulder problem, which was this very specific section of the climb where he had to make a very intense maneuver in order to accomplish making that section, and even more so than when he actually performs it later. His description of it was just so nerve-wracking hearing, you know, how that went. So I'm going to play that section there of him, you know, because he can explain it better than me, and then I'm sure Jim can even explain it better than that. But just to hear him talk about this section is quite intense. So.
But the boulder problem has a 10-foot section that's incredibly difficult. It's a very intricate sequence. You've got your right hand on a crimp, left hand on a side pull, and then you put your right foot onto this dimple thing. Right hand goes up to a small down pulling crimp, left foot goes into a little dish, and then you drive up off the left foot into the thumb press. That's the worst hold on the entire route, so you get maybe half your thumb on the hold. Then you roll your two fingers over the thumb, switch your feet, left foot stems out to this really bad sloping black foothold. switch your thumbs, and then reach out left to a big sloping bread loaf type hold that feels kind of grainy. From there, either karate kick or double dyno to an edge on the opposite wall. In some ways, it makes more sense to do the big two-handed jump because you're jumping to a good edge, so there's actually something to catch. But the idea of jumping without a rope seems completely outrageous. If you miss it, that's that.
So yeah, that was the that was the problem there was, yeah, just the thumb placement that he talks where he's basically holding himself by his thumb and then he has to switch thumbs at one point was just incredible to hear that talk about. And it's enough to, I mean, not that I was going to climb it anyway, but that definitely was enough to be like...
if there was a tipping point for you,
well,
you
no, that's it, really so. What tipped it for me.
Okay, yeah, have another beer, man. Go for it.
It was only like halfway up the wall. It wasn't like it was at the top or anything.
yeah.
So Jim, I'm curious, when you see a scene like that, and later on in the film, when he's actually attempting that, and you know, there's been so much conversation in the film about the boulder problem and how is he going to go about it, and you know, that's the big scene in a lot of ways for the make or break it. You, as somebody that's, you know, it's been well documented, you just said that you knew that he did it, you know, and they've had plenty of time to edit the film and all this stuff, that time has passed. What is that like for you watching it then, to know the technique of what they're talking about, but to also know, guys, he's got this. It's fine. He does it. No big deal. Everybody calm down. Because I'm not joking. Like, everybody at Art House was gripping their seats at scenes like that, and you know, panic, anxiety, like, we don't know if this guy, what's he doing? So what's a guy like you doing when you're watching something like that?
The same thing.
Oh!
we all of us climbers, we know the end, we know what happens, we're still doing the same thing, and that's just how masterfully it was put together. I mean, yep. They just built it up so well, and I think some of that maybe is the behind the scenes, and how, I mean, the guys running the cameras were doing the same thing at the same time, because, you know, it could go either way. But the funny thing is, like, we knew how it was going to go, and we're still doing the same thing. It was terrifying to see that kind of stuff. You just, the consequences are so dire. Alex himself even said that wasn't the hardest part. He thought that the hardest part was the slabs down lower where his girlfriend actually dropped him earlier. You know, and those, I looked at those, and just having climbed long enough, I look at that kind of stuff. And even if it's lower angle, if your biggest hold is like the thickness of a quarter, there's just zero security that you can have in that kind of situation. And so it's just 100% Olympic caliber gold medal balance and mastery. There's nothing else to say. It's just mastery of that kind of thing, and his brain has the ability to master that stuff and do it without fear, which is nuts. I'd be terrified doing it with a rope.
I wouldn't even do it with a rope. So Jim, how about you, any what comes to your mind as favorite scene or moment from the film?
You know, I don't know, maybe it's just my morbidness, but when he said, I thought about breaking up with her. Man, and I knew the whole story. That was something. So I knew the whole story before it came out and I saw it. But it's like when he said that, I'm like, I guess he's just, most of us would just know better than to like say that.
But especially to a camera crew. You might think it, but you don't say it to a camera crew.
Yeah, those are the thoughts you don't verbalize. But it was fantastic that he's just so open and transparent. And he's just that guy. And that's just how he lives. I also loved when they picked out the refrigerator for the house. You know?
Oh, yeah.
No.
They did find the perfect one that fits all their needs, I think was the line he said.
I don't know. So the climbing stuff wasn't the things that I remember the most and that I got the most entertainment out of. Eating from a spatula. Black Diamond's one of their big sponsors, their climbing company. They have a Honnold spatula that they market now.
Oh. All right.
It's okay.
I think for me, like you hit on what I would say, and I know this isn't just one moment, but I think my favorite thing about the film is how much it is about climbing, but it's not about climbing. Like at the end of the day, you could, you know, yeah, there's this incredible feat of him doing that, but there's so much about mental health and like his mental state, and like not poking fun at him, but just asking the question, like, what is the drive behind this guy to do this? And how could, and even the statements about his girlfriend and things like that, like normal people don't necessarily act like that towards their significant other or view their life on that kind of level. And normal people don't usually desire to climb a mountain with no rope just for the sake of saying that they did it, stuff like that. So the mental health thing, the whole girlfriend relationship aspect, where they are picking out, you know, a fridge and they're decorating their home and he only allows her to talk about furniture one time a day, you know, stuff like that. It's like, this is a climbing documentary, but you're choosing to do this instead. Yeah. But it works, and it works so well because the film is about so much more, I think, than just this incredible feat. But it's really about this man and what's the drive and the lifestyle around this guy to make this feat possible. Those are some of my favorite things about the film, for sure. So I also love,
think they've lucked out and found, like, not only is he this really accomplished and dedicated climber, but he's just a character. Like, he, like, I don't think this would have won the Oscar if he wasn't so charming and a little bit strange to the average person. And like, I think he is just one of those amazing documentary subjects that really elevates the film beyond just the subject.
Yeah. Just the accomplishment. There's got to be that personality behind the accomplishment to make it everything that it actually is. So the personality of Alex is he's an odd duck a little bit, I would say. But I talked to some people in the theater after they had viewed it, and they're climbers or they're, you know, more extreme sports kind of mentalities. And they look at him and they're kind of like, oh yeah, I that makes sense. Like, I not that they are him, but they can understand or connect with that on some level. And what I would say is my absolute favorite scene, and then I'd ask, I'm curious, Jim, like, is this something that you would say like, oh yeah, that all makes sense, or this guy is crazy weird out there, odd duck, is at the end of the film when he's, you know, gotten to the top, he's done it, Jimmy Chin is going nuts, like crying, emotion, just a hot mess, the whole crew is a hot mess, his girlfriend calls him on the phone, she's a hot mess, like, I'm a, like, everybody that is interacting with what's happening is just a wreck, and he goes, so delighted, I'm so delighted, like, he just says that 4 or 5 times, I'm so, those are the only words, and he goes, I might cry, I don't know, maybe, we'll see, so delighted, and I'm like, what's happening? Like, do you not understand? So I love that scene for so many reasons, but one of them is it just highlights who is this guy? So is that something you watch and you go like, yeah, that makes sense? Or are you going, what's up with this guy?
No, I definitely can feel your sentiment about that, because it is the case. And I've been in a situation where I've been stood in line in a poster signing and met him a couple of times, and it just, it's fitting for the person that I've met personally. You know, I've read about him, I've seen YouTube videos about him and stuff, but that's just who he is, and that's the depth of his emotions, and he's very, very analytical, as I'm sure anyone can surmise out of that. He takes 3,000 feet of rock, and I'll bet you he could describe every single foot move and every single hand move in 3,000 feet of rock, and that's just how his mind operates. He has the analysis. He probably would have been a great coder if he'd have been born, you know, a couple of decades ago. He would have beat Bill Gates to the punch, and he'd be a billionaire now. But he just has that mindset, and climbing just became his muse, and so he's done a great job with that. And I think, quite frankly, one of the things that impresses me the most about him is just having that kind of mindset, is how he's dealt with his popularity and his fame and stuff. We had a group of our members here that went down to Las Vegas right before the pandemic hit and went bouldering at Red Rocks, and they ran into him out there, and they just ran into him out in the desert. He's just out there, huh, the rest of the gang.
Yeah.
doing? Doing a little boulder. And so just kind of a normal guy, and he loves climbing. And so that's just his lifestyle. And despite the fact that he looks super uncomfortable in the tuxedo, there were pictures in Climbing Magazine and stuff like that on their website about him wearing a tuxedo. And he's like, this is really weird. And so totally different world. He feels much, much better out in the desert carrying around a pad or rope or no rope. But yeah, normal guy, little off, little odd duck for sure. But
yeah. So do you think he has to be that, like it takes that kind of personality to accomplish this feat? Or do you think now that he's done it, there's going to be others that, you know, can follow, and they don't have to be maybe as analytical or those kinds of things because he paved the way? Or do you think this is more of a once in a lifetime? This is a unique guy with a unique bag of DNA that's happening to make this possible.
Man, that's an awesome question. I've been climbing for 35 years, and I've seen people attempt this style of thing. And unfortunately, a lot of them are gone. And quite frankly, there's only one that I know of that's gone down the free solo path, and nobody even really knows his name. And he's been doing the same thing for 30 years. He's probably close to 60 now, and he's still doing it, but he's not in the limelight. And he doesn't have that kind of analytical mindset. He just does it for himself and for fun. He doesn't do it at that level that Alex did. But everybody else that kept trying to push the envelope, they're just not here anymore. And part of Jimmy's and the crew's anxiety was the fact that they knew that too. They're old enough. They have friends that have done that and have tried to accomplish some feat and didn't make it. And generally the people that have done it in the past, they accomplished that feat and they got that rush of adrenaline to have done their goal, but then they kept going. And they all kind of die in obscurity, just doing something that wasn't really a goal and a plan. And Alex, he had a goal and a plan. And, you know, I'm thankful that I haven't heard much about his goals and his plans since the movie. Yeah. You know, I wish him the best and hope he ties in. And his last goal that I heard about, and I might be dating this on, but was he wanted to climb harder. He didn't want to freeze solo harder. He wanted to climb harder. He'd never climbed a 514. And so he was roping in and he was trying to climb harder and up his skill set to climb harder climbs. And that's awesome. That's an admirable thing. You can fall and fall and fall and fall climbing on a rope and keep going and doing it the next day. But soloing, you don't get that opportunity.
Yeah. Wow. Which I guess kind of leads us into, well, that leads me into what's it all about, but let's jump into nitpicks first. I almost jumped over that. And the reason is because I don't really have any nitpicks on this film, which is rare. And I don't think it's ever happened before, but I just, even rewatching it, I watched it a couple times when it was at Art House and rewatching it in preparation for this rewind. Like for me, I just don't know what I would change or do different or didn't connect or didn't work for me. I just loved it. You know, even the little scenes of like him being in the school with the kids asking questions and him saying, well, I'm about an average dentist salary is kind of what I've got. Like, what does that even mean? But I'm like, okay, I'm great. I'm in on what's happening on the screen. There was just no point in the film where I felt out. And I was like, yeah, they could have changed this or done it different. I just loved everything about it. So gentlemen, anything for you that you guys would actually nitpick or say, that didn't connect or work as well for me?
No, not really. There was, and it wasn't even like that, that nitpicky, I guess I could say, is that, you know, sometimes I felt like some of his words of wisdom, like somewhere right before he climbs, he speaks of this warrior mentality sort of thing. And, I don't know. It felt a little more scripted. It might not have been. It might be his exact words, but it felt to me a little putting a little bit more weight than it seemed like he was giving it leading up to it, sort of thing. That was a little bit to me. It wasn't even that much, but that this time going through it, it felt a little contrived to me.
I have to admit, guys, I watched this movie for the first time about 3 weeks ago.
Love it.
And I don't know what it is about it, but you know, I knew the whole story, and through talking to people and anybody that I have met and has been an acquaintance of mine over the years that I run into at Costco. Isn't that where we find all our people that we haven't seen?
Yeah.
Like, oh, have you seen that Free Solo thing? And not even close to being into the climber world, but they saw the film. He's brought up a lot of attention to climbing. And when I say he, I guess it's not necessarily Alex, but the whole film and the story that was told. But I was a little bit concerned about glamorization of free soloing because, you know, people die when they fall and they don't have a rope on. And that was definitely concerning to me. But I think the story, the way that it was told and the way that it was represented, that Alex was definitely a little bit of an odd duck and you just don't go do this. That gave me a little peace. It settled my mind a little bit. So I guess that's not really a nitpick, but it was prior to me watching the film. And we all knew what happened. All of us climbers that had been following, we knew what was going to happen and we knew he was going to succeed. But like you brought up, Matt, we were still gripping our seats when he was going through the final ascent. And so I think just a masterfully told story and a story outside of generally indie, even regular Hollywood, of course, Hollywood or any film type of organizations to win the highest awards. That's mm-hmm. pretty impressive. That says a lot about this film.
Yeah. I think that's some really, really good insight. I mean, I think about the safety aspect and how we have a path that we take a lot of times in America. When something gets popularized, there's a whole bunch of people that think like, I can do that too. And all the professionals go, no, you can't. You should not be attempting this. You should not be trying this. There's a reason that that guy's on the screen doing it. So I haven't seen anything about it. Maybe you guys have. My only nitpick, I guess, sitting here thinking about it, just came to me, and this isn't even something that's there, but it could happen, is if they try to make this into a drama and tell the story compared to just letting it be the documentary. So similar to what they did with Man on Wire, when that was a documentary originally about that incredible feat, that was an amazing documentary. And then they tried to dramatize it and it just got weird. And the feat for me lost some of its magic. And I think for me, if, you know, you get, for lack of a better person, Christian Bale, that's going to play Alex in a movie and he's going to do this and he's going to climb. Like, I just think it would, like, they have this incredible thing already, like, let it be what it is. So that would be my nitpick, but I haven't heard or seen anything like that. I just know how typical Oscar nominated and winning documentaries can go, that everybody wants to dramatize it, make more money off of it.
Yeah, I think it might be a time and a place thing where the technology and the ability for climbers to adapt and adopt new technologies and jump right out there in front of some of the Hollywood production type stuff. I'm hoping. Yep. A lot of times, you know, they'll dramatize something after somebody dies or after if the story hasn't been told well, or they, you know, like you say, make more money by, you know, amping it up just a little bit. And this one has a wide enough, you know how the books are never as good as, or the movies are never as good as the books? Because in your mind's eye, you picture this character as this person or that character as that way. And then it's never quite right in the movie, at least to some aspect. I think this movie was told in book fashion via video. So I think it's going to be pretty hard to dramatize this. I mean, I hope, like you, Matt, I hope it doesn't get told in a drama.
Yeah, yep.
I would hate to see another cliffhanger style version of that would be awful.
Bring back Sylvester. He'll do it.
I would like to see a remake of Cliffhanger.
Have Alex play the lead role and we're all in. Everybody. So guys, moving to what's it all about. I think, you know, Jim, you were talking about it earlier, and just that drive that Alex has. And I think there's that scene, it's almost the last words that are spoken in the film, where the girlfriend says, I'm so happy for you and you're done, is what she says. And there's this look on Alex's face that everybody that's paying attention knows he's not done. Like, that this was, yes, he did it, but the next scene is him then hangboarding, is that what it's called? I think if I remember right, like he's back at it. And like you said, maybe he hasn't, you know, set out that next major feat that he's going to do. He's got some different ideas, which is good. But for me, that what's it all about, like, that's the thing that I walked away from. Like, just that drive in him is, I think, the drive in a lot of people. Like, we, our inability to be satisfied with our own accomplishments and what we have right in front of us, around us, and to stop and to celebrate and just go, this is great and we're good, we have enough, you know, would be a way I would say it, those kinds of things. But to see that scene of I'm so happy for you and now you're done, and to know like he's not done, there's who knows what's next, but this drive is going to continue to consume him and be a part of this relationship and be a part of everything that he does. And for me, it was just really reflective of, I think, what a lot of our lives can potentially be, whether it's in business or family or friendships or creativity or whatever it is, like that perpetual drive for more and more and more. So that was a big thing I walked away from the film on. So any thoughts or ideas for you guys on what the film was all about that you left thinking about?
Yeah, I felt like you nailed it right there. Was a lot of what I was going to say is, you know, not only the drive and that, how that can apply to, you know, climbing is his thing, but you can apply it to whatever you're passionate about. I think it's a lot of, number one, having a passion in general is kind of what it's striving for. And also the drive, not only to do it, but to reach that level of perfection, to be the best you can be at that one thing is a lot of what I see in that, and how, you know, he takes it to this extreme where you can kind of see like it's, you know, affecting his personal life with that relationship as well, but it's still like, you know, you got to have that passion and you've got to do it at all costs, sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, as I kind of referred to earlier, I hope he's done. I really do hope he's done. And like Brian said, it's like, but not making giant leaps forward and giant audacious goals. I hope he's done free soloing at giant audacious goals, that he will apply this to, you know, climbing harder, higher grades on a rope, or harder boulder problems, or masterfully building a business and brand out of what he has accomplished thus far, that he will find some satisfaction in that next level. Because, you know, risking it in business, well, you lose some money. Risking it free solo, it's not money. You don't get to build another goal. And yeah. So, you know, I really do hope, like she said, was that he's done with that. Maybe he'll continue to free solo, like the guy I referred to that's in Yosemite, that's 60 years old, that he's still doing it without ropes. Not nearly at the level that he did, but he never did it at the level that Alex has done it. And at his peak, he kind of realized, okay, that's my peak. I'm going to start doing it at a much lower level now and staying under the radar. And Alex, I don't think he'll ever really be under the radar unless he truly chooses that that's where he wants to be. But, you know, he's a pretty skilled individual and he's very popular. And so he could do a lot of cool, great things in our industry. And he does already, like the school scene. He still travels around. I think he was in Bozeman last year or the year before. He was in Bozeman and he met with the kids on the Bozeman climbing team. And that's pretty cool. They just, you know, just rolling into Bozeman, hanging out with Conrad Anker, a buddy of his, and then just meeting the kids all the way from like 9 years old to 18 years old and climbing with them for one of their practices. That's a really cool thing. And for me, you know, of course, this is the business that I'm in and I've chosen to pursue. It's very gratifying for me, and I hope he finds that kind of gratification too, to Sharon.
I love it. So if anybody's curious, just to land the plane tonight, how to go deeper or how to go further in what the film talks about or what it's all about, I think obviously, Jim, you're the expert on this. I would just throw out, you know, Jimmy Chin's other works, I think are more than worth it. If you enjoyed this documentary, his other works are definitely worthwhile. You were telling me about one, or telling us about one before we went live, that's on National Geographic, that I'm excited to check out that, because that seems really, really interesting. But Jim, for you, what would you say for somebody that loved this film and just wants to go deeper in these kinds of things?
As far as the physical activity of climbing, climbing gyms right now proliferating around the world are unbelievable. It's like I talked about the tribe. The tribe exists inside now. You don't have to go out and risk sunburn and mosquito bites and rattlesnakes or anything. You come inside a hermetically sealed climbing scenario, which I would have been appalled at 30 years ago, but it really is a very comfortable environment, enjoyable. It's the workout that you never knew you were having, as a member shared with me at one point. And you learn some skills and you learn some techniques and you learn it at a pace that's manageable. The risk is minor. There's always risk in life, but you can accomplish more, and you can climb walls inside and transfer that to outside. And climbing is a really, really cool sport where the camaraderie is kind of unlike anything else. And rivals root for rivals at every competition that I've ever been to. And nobody disses or trash talks their rivals. They congratulate them for beating them. And it's pretty unique. And so climbing is something that I think, you know, you should give a try. If you feel like you want to go deeper into this type of thing, do it with a rope, unless you're on a little wall, which is, these are boulder problems over here, you know, these short ones, yeah. And on this big fat mat. You do tall walls like this, and this wall is actually 40 feet tall. It goes about 3 times higher than that. You know, you want a rope on that one. So
I'm sure. Well, and what's cool about what you're doing, I have friends who have young kids, and my wife and I have talked about it multiple times, just haven't made it happen yet. We have a 5-year-old son and a daughter who's about to turn 2. She climbs everything already. My son would love it. And you've created this atmosphere that's incredibly family friendly for people like us that don't know anything, but know that our kids would love it. And they would probably just school us and just whoop up something while I'm huffing and puffing on the easy ones, whatever it is. But just, I love what you and your partner have created in Billings and the work that you're doing, because it's not just, you've taken the what I would say is secrecy of climbing. It's this whole thing with all this gear that I know nothing about and I don't know how to do it. I'm not going to go find a mountain and try to climb it, but I can come to a space like yours and just explore and figure it out and be around other people that are, so not rivals, but people that are a part of the tribe that are going to help out. And so I really appreciate what you've created in the community, because anybody that is interested, Steep World's a place to check it out. And you guys are open right now for climbing, which you're showing very elegantly behind you tonight.
Yeah, I think at some point, maybe in a couple of years, Matt, you might be in here trying to show up your boy. your kids are going to drag you in here and you're going to become a climber. I've seen it happen numerous times where mom and dad became a climber because their little ones took them out.
Okay, my wife would love that. I think I would too, but I just got to make the effort to get there for sure. So, Brian, anything for you would point out if people want to go deeper?
Cliffhanger.
Were you waiting also, all night to say that?
I think there's also, doesn't Alex have some books that he's written as well, Jim?
Not super familiar. I think he was working on one, if I remember right.
Okay.
I'm not solid on that, but Cliffhanger. I like I like Sylvester Stallone, but his stunt double,
Wolfgang Mission Impossible Gulak. 2.
Wolfgang Gulak was his stunt double.
Oh yeah,
phenomenal. The story, his life could be a drama. His life could definitely be a drama film. It's pretty impressive, that guy. Yeah. Sylvester Stallone looked up to him a lot.
Cool.
Well, now I got to go watch Cliffhanger with a different lens on. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I don't know who my wife will be, but
next rewind. So.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. If you are watching this, we hope that you not only are engaged with Art House Rewind and the work we're doing here, but as we currently are not open, we are screening films over our website. And so we've worked out with some distributors that you can go to our website, arthousebillings.com, and still stay up to date on the latest, greatest independent film releases. And this Friday, we will have 2 selections for you, and Brian would love to tell you about them.
Yeah.
Mr. Osterreich, go for it.
Yeah, so this weekend, we will be holding over The Booksellers, which is a great little documentary about the rare book scene in New York City and, you know, kind of the eccentric characters surrounding that. It's a real fun documentary, especially if you love books. It will make you really want to support those independent bookstores. And then this Friday we open Driveways, which is a sort of melodrama film. It stars Brian Dennehy. This is one of his last starring roles as he passed earlier this year. And so we're glad to see that one come in. It's a little melodrama about old Korean War vet that befriends a young neighbor boy, and they kind of learn to see things eye to eye. And it's a little heartfelt message about the importance of community, sort of thing. So, two great
like
films.
A good message
to
right now.
Look at
like
and yeah.
Okay, well, gentlemen, thank you so much. Thank you to those of you that tuned in live or watched this on Rewind. We hope you're doing well. We hope you're safe.
Also, want to do a quick shout out. Some of you, most of you that are watching this or follow us on social media have seen that yesterday was Giving Tuesday now, and we are so thankful to every one of you that supported us throughout that. We were able to raise $4,510 yesterday with the outpour of support from the Billings community to give what they can. And because of all that, we're gonna lop off Jake's golden locks this weekend, and we'll document that for you. So follow that this weekend as well.
Yep, don't want to miss that. So thank you, gentlemen, so much for being a part of it. Thank you those of you that are a part of this as well, and for continuing to support Art House and Steep World. Do everything you can to do what you can to support those guys. Thank you. Have a great night, everybody.
Art House, thanks you guys. I appreciate
thanks,
being
Jim.
A part of it. Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jim.
Good night, everyone.